I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, and I will never, never desert you. For lo, I am with you forever and ever. And if you say,
praise God. This is the Word of Faith Netcast. This is Dr. Bill Bailey. I'm glad once again you can join us as we continue with our study on living in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We've had several different possible titles for it, but let's go with that one for this netcast. Oh my, we're reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. If you want to get your Bibles and go ahead and be opening to that reference. We'll get started here in just a minute. A couple of announcements. First of all, of course, I would encourage you to listen to Word of Faith Radio, WOFR.org, internet radio, and continue to tell your friends, send emails, whatever you can do to get the word out about Word of Faith Radio, because that's the primary thing we need right now is more folks listening and spreading the word, because the more that listen, the more that spread will spread the word. That Word of Faith Radio is on and available and out there. It's an internet radio station, so it's available everywhere throughout the world. Also, let you in on a little project that we're doing. I have ordered a low-power AM transmitter. We're going to be hooking that up, and then my goal is to be the first of the many, many low-power radio stations that will be broadcasting Word of Faith Radio programming. So I'll be giving you more information about that, maybe give you some pictures to see how that project goes once I get that equipment in that I've ordered. So good things are happening there. All right, I trust you found your Bible and you've gotten it open to Romans chapter 8. Let's begin in verse 1, where we left off last time. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we pulled that apart literally a word at a time to find the definition. And basically a very quick recap is there is no conviction such as in a court. In other words, an adverse sentence in a court to them which are in Jesus Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, who walk, that is, who live and deport themselves. In other words, your walk as in your daily walk with the Lord. Not after the flesh, which is the meat of an animal, the human body, basically the flesh in the sense that we think of it, but after the Spirit, which is pneuma, which is the breath, blast of air, current of air, spirit, the rational soul, the mental disposition, literally the vital principle. In other words, the you that makes you, you, the real you. So, there is no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, last week we talked about the fact that we are living under the law of the Spirit of life. And that law, it is a law. You know, I've used this example before, but if you were to go to the edge of a cliff and drop a bowling ball off of it, I don't care what you did, how you jumped up and down, whatever you might want to try, that bowling ball is going to fall. Why? Because of the law of gravity. There is a law of gravity that says that bowling ball is going to drop off that cliff, and it's going to do it very quickly. So, what does that tell us? That bowling ball adheres to the law of gravity. Well, there is a law in the spiritual realm too. Matter of fact, there's two main laws in the spiritual realm. One is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The other is the law of sin and death. One is enforced and reinforced by God. One is derived from Satan's activity, the law of sin and death. Jesus said that Satan has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That falls under the venue of the law of sin and death. But Jesus said, I am come to give life, and that more abundantly. That falls under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So you want to operate by the higher law, which is the law of the Spirit of life. Now, last week we talked about the fact that, you know, well, Dr. Bill, you're trying to put me in bondage, put me under the law. We're not talking about that kind of law. We're talking about just like the law of gravity. Do you know the law of gravity doesn't put you in bondage? No. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for the law of gravity, we'd go floating off into space. That wouldn't be good. So it's of benefit to us to have these laws in operation. Same thing with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's benefit to us for those to operate the way they were designed to operate. They are not negative. They're not holding us back. They're not dragging us down. They are there for our good. God designed it that way. Now, let's keep reading here, verse 3 of Romans 8. For what the law, now that's talking about the law as in the old covenant law. That is what Moses brought down from the mountains, you know, the mountain where God gave it to him. That law, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we go back to that phrase, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what we need to do is endeavor to do exactly what the Scripture says. Don't walk after the dictates of the flesh. Don't give in to the lust of the flesh. Don't lean to the arm of the flesh, but instead walk, live, and operate after the Spirit. Be spiritually oriented. You are a spirit. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. You live in a physical body. You need to walk spirit conscious. Now, I'm talking two areas of spirit here. The human spirit, which is what you are. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. But also the Holy Spirit. He's in there. Amen. Remember we talked about the ragu sauce or Prego sauce or whatever it was, it's in there. The old commercial used to say, well, the Holy Ghost is in there. He is in there to teach you, to help you, to be a parakletos, is what the Greek says, which is one who stands by, one who is a comforter, an instructor, a helper. He's there to help you. He's not there to condemn you. He's not there to hold you back, see. He's there to bless you, all right? And he's there to empower you. Jesus told the disciples in the book of Acts, he said, don't even leave Jerusalem to go into all the world until you be endued from power on high, for that power will come when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. So if you're a Christian and you're not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, you're missing out on the power. You need to be empowered. The Holy Ghost comes to dwell within you, and then he helps you. Matter of fact, the Scripture says that we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit prays with us, through us. Amen. And that's what we need to do, is lean to the Spirit. Lean to the fact that we are a human spirit. Lean to the fact that the Holy Spirit is within us, there to empower us and to help us. And if we walk according to the Spirit, then, well, let's read verse 4 here. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh, here we go. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. The word mind here is phroneo in the Greek. Phroneo, what does that mean? It means to exercise the mind, to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion. By implication, to be mentally disposed. In other words, to lean toward the mental realm. More or less earnestly in a certain direction, intensively to interest oneself in or with concern or obedience. So basically, to be mentally oriented, to exercise the mind, to be of the mind rather than of the spirit. There's nothing wrong with developing your mind in the sense of learning, educating yourself, going to school. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But if you lean toward your mind only, if you're not spirit-led, spirit-oriented, spirit-directed, then you're going to only deal with rationality. And there are things about the spiritual realm that are not rational in the sense of the mind. Basically, there are things the Bible says are foolishness to people who operate only according to their mind. The gospel itself is foolishness to those who do not receive it by faith. So if you were to look at spiritual things and think that makes no sense, you're mind-oriented. But as a born-again, spirit-filled, turned-on Christian, and looking at the things of the Spirit, you see things in the Spirit that don't make sense to the natural man, that don't make sense to the mind. They make sense to the Spirit. They're spiritually discerned. And that's what we need to do, and that's how we walk after the law of the Spirit of life, not after the law of sin and death. We walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. All right, for they that are after the flesh, they that are after the flesh. Now, what does it mean to be after the flesh? There are those that pursue fleshly pursuits. They pursue feeling good in the flesh. They pursue developing only the flesh. You know, they're body-oriented. And those people that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They keep it in mind. They exercise their mind. They develop their mind only in those areas. But they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit, or by implication, do mind or develop the things of the Spirit. You need to be developing your spirit. Now, there's a broad area of discussion right here. We could get into some interesting study about developing the human spirit. Did you know you could on purpose develop your human spirit? There are people who have highly developed their bodies with exercise and weightlifting and all these kinds of things, and they've got chiseled muscle definition. But very often, I'm not saying it's true in every case, don't get me wrong, but very often they do not develop their mind, they do not develop their spirit. Why? Because they are so focused only on developing their body. Now, you know, basically what is true is there should be balance in all things. Develop your body, develop your mind, develop your spirit. But the key is to develop the spirit. That's the real you. The flesh is going to grow old. It's going to die. You're going to leave your flesh. Your mind should be trained in the things of the Spirit and the things of the Word of God. You need to be studying the Word of God, developing your mind, renewing your mind to the Word of God. But primarily, predominantly, you need to be developing your human spirit. Develop your spirit to be quick to obey the Holy Spirit, quick to obey God and what He's directing you to do. And then you walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. You'll mind the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. All right. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded. Now the word carnally here is the same word we found earlier, that's the Greek word sarx, that is the flesh. To be flesh-minded, to be physically minded, to be body-minded, the human nature orientation-minded, is what? Death. Now, this is the word thanatos we'd seen before, which literally means death, plain old dead death. Okay? So, what are we saying here? The Scripture is saying to be flesh-minded is death. You don't want to be flesh-minded. You don't want to be body-minded. You want to be spiritually minded. What's the next thing in this verse say? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace comes from being spiritually minded. Or in other words, oriented toward the human spirit, the born-again spirit, the things of God, the Holy Spirit's operation in your life. Why? Verse 7. because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the mind that is oriented toward the flesh, is enmity against God. Now, that word enmity, that may be a little blind to you. That's King James, and sometimes that may throw you. It's not a word we use every day, enmity. But what does it mean in the Greek? It's ekthra. It means hostility or opposition. Amen. Hostility or opposition. Now, what's that mean with reference to this verse of Scripture? Well, let's read that in there. Because the carnal, fleshly minded person is hostile or opposed against God. Now, you don't want to be hostily opposed to God. But I tell you what, I have read on the internet, I have talked to a lot of people who are hostile and opposed to the things of God because they are flesh-minded. They are oriented in their mind and in their thought to a rational view of the world that is outside of the Christian mindset, the Christian worldview. And because of that, they are hostile to the things of God. Now, if you were to pin them down and say, are you hostile against God? You know, there are some that would say, yes, I am. I am against everything that God stands for. That's sad. But there's even more that would say, well, no, I'm not hostile against God. I just don't really have any time for that kind of stuff. You know, Bill Gates said one time he doesn't have any time for God. You know, he feels like he's got it all together in and of himself. Well, that's sad. It's really sad. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. Money, we talked a few weeks back, months or so back now, about the deceitfulness of riches. You know what the deceitfulness of riches is? The deceitfulness of riches is that having money in and of itself will put you over, will make you successful. That's not the case. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you won't be successful unless you're successful in the area of spiritual things and the things of God. God will put you over. God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But we need to be God-oriented. We need to be Spirit-oriented. We need to be Bible-oriented. We need to be things of God-oriented, not flesh-oriented, and not encumbered by the deceitfulness of riches. All right, we're digressing a bit here. Let's go back to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile or in opposition against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be subject to the law of God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Ouch. If you're in the flesh, if you're flesh-oriented, if you lean to the flesh, you just cannot please God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to please God. I want to be pleasing unto God. I want to live a life that's pleasing unto God. Verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, Christians, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Amen. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But, verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive or revitalize your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. If you live after the flesh, you become hostile and in opposition to God. If you live after the flesh, it says ye shall die. You just don't want to live after the flesh. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What does it mean to mortify the deeds of the body? The word mortify here is thanato again, which is that word that means death. It means to kill, to cause to be dead. So we kill the deeds or practices. It's the Greek word praxis. It means practice, act, or function. We kill, we destroy, we put to death the practice, acts, and functions of the body. If we do that, we shall live. Amen. We will operate in the power of life. Verse 14, here we go. This is what we've been working toward. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you want to operate as a son of God, son or daughter of God, you need to be living by the Spirit of God. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. You need to operate according to spiritual law, spiritual truth, not be flesh-oriented. Okay, verse 15, I'm sorry. For if you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Abba was a term of endearment in Greek. It was used, it's actually of Chaldee origin, to be perfectly, precise. But basically, it's like we would use the term daddy. Calling God the Father, God the creator of the universe, daddy. That personal close relationship. You know, it's one thing to look at him and say, Father God. It's another thing to say, hey, dad, you want to go do something? That's a personal relationship. It's an easygoing relationship. That doesn't mean we don't respect the Father God. We certainly do. He's creator of the universe. We have great respect for him. We have great awe of his majesty and his power. That's wonderful. But we also have that endearing quality, that closeness. A child that is close to his parent does not fear his parent in a quaking fear. He's not one to go, come into a room and kowtow and say, oh, Father, might I have a soft drink? No. You say, if anything that comes in, say, can I have a soft drink? Sure, go ahead. It's not a big deal because you have a relationship. You have a closeness. Well, that closeness comes from that daddy quality. And that's the closeness we want to have with the Father God. We want that daddy relationship. And that's what he's saying here. The ones that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I know in the Greek it says itself, but the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a he. And this phrase here that is translated in the King James itself is more properly translated himself, and in fact, in other places in Scripture is translated correctly himself. So we would say it this way, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are heirs of God. God is our daddy. We have that daddy relationship, but we also have an heir relationship. It's really neat that Jesus, who died for us, then was raised from the dead to see to it that his last will and testament, which is the New Testament, was carried out precisely as he wanted it to be carried out. We're heirs of everything that he has done for us. We're heirs of his inheritance. And we are members of the family of God. Amen. Well, I trust you've enjoyed this study. We're going to continue along these lines next week and maybe shift a little bit into a little different area. But this is absolutely necessary for you to understand the importance of living by the Spirit as opposed to living by the flesh. Amen. Well, I want you to write me here, Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. That's our email address. Or you can write our regular mailing address, which is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 4066, 4066, Archdale, North Carolina, 27263. Join us again next time. And remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.